your number one station, your official station.
You're listening to The Itch. My name is Casey.
My name is Dan.
And I'm Aaron, and this week we are scratching the itch for some trivia. So I've got a question I'm going to pitch to you guys, and I might even give you a hint about the answer. We'll see. When do you think was the last time we did a proper album roundup episode?
A year ago.
You got that way easier than I thought you would.
Yeah.
The hint was going to be that it's in the name of our room that we're in right now. We did a first quarter roundup of 2023 and released it 11 months ago.
No. Yeah, I remembered that actually when we were talking about doing this, is because I got thinking, I was like, we haven't done that for almost a year. Because I know it was, I knew the last time we did it was a quarter one of 2023. Because it was kind of the same situation where it was a very slow start to the year. And I didn't really, you know, we weren't really too excited about the stuff that had come out besides the ones that we were talking about. We're just kind of back in the same boat this year.
All true. I will note that last year we talked about 9 albums.
Yeah.
So we each brought like 3. And this year we're talking about 1 apiece. Yeah, 3. So it must be even slower.
It's definitely a lot slower.
To be fair, a lot of stuff was released like the last week or two as we record this, so we haven't had a chance to really dive into it.
And frankly, most of the stuff I'm really hyped about is coming out in the next couple of months.
Exactly.
So I'm excited for what's to come, but we're just not quite there yet.
Well, and the other thing is, too, is, you know, music is definitely changing in the way that it's being released, and there's been a lot of awesome singles that have been released this year.
Singles and EPs.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, we might not see full-length albums as much as we did in the past, but who knows? You know, it is very early in the year, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, on that note, I want to give a quick shout-out to a few EPs that we're not really going to talk about right now, but that I think are worth people listening, that came out in the first 3 months of 2024. So, honestly, aside from the album that I kind of brought to the table here tonight, these EPs I'm about to mention are probably my favorite releases so far this year, more than any other LPs, which is Electric Enemy. They had an EP called You. Palais Royale, Songs for Sadness, is really good and definitely sad. Heartsick, we interviewed Heartsick last year. They had an EP called Mind, Body, Spirit that has a nasty Stabbing Westward cover on it that I highly recommend. And, well, this one I can't say because it's not officially out yet. But next week's episode will be about the band releasing so far my favorite EP of the year so far.
Yeah.
That's two so fars. So it's that far, actually.
Yeah. And one reason why we wanted to do this episode is, one, we like to kind of break up interviews every once in a while, because we've been kind of on an interview train the last couple of months. And hopefully that'll continue. But I like to break up the monotony every once in a while.
The last couple of years, I might even say, because, you know, when we first started the show, album reviews were a much bigger part of it.
Yeah.
And as time has gone on, you know, the bulk of our episodes are interviews or concert experiences.
Yeah.
Found that, well, I mean, if you listen to a lot of our interviews, we found that a lot of the interview, you know, it got easier to talk about those albums with the artists.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we started doing. Instead of just talking about the album and giving our own perspective, we started questioning the artist about their perspective.
Yeah, right.
And funny that you mentioned that. Two of the albums that we're talking about, we have spoken with the artists. Only one about the album in particular that we've got here tonight.
Yes.
Well, technically, the other album they were talking about in being in the studio, or at least going to the studio to record the album that we're going to do, the second album that we're talking about.
Yes.
Fair. So I can be an encyclopedia for a second again. If you want to go back and hear our interviews with a couple of these bands, they will be episode 199 and 114. And no, I haven't said who they are yet, because I'm going to let Casey take it and introduce his first.
Yeah.
And we'll go from there.
Yeah, we've talked with Jack Underkoffler of Dead Poets Society, and we saw them on Shiprocked. And Dan and I are getting ready to hopefully see them here at the end of the month. but we wanted to kind of dive into the album itself just because all three of us really, really like this album. So
yeah,
Fission from Dead Poets Society.
It was really awesome getting a chance to talk to Jack about writing this album and just getting his take, because he said the emotional availability that he, you know, was, I guess, at with his bandmates and trying to make this was just at a new level.
Yeah. Dead Poets Society just keeps leveling up, as it were. And this album thrown into their previous set list makes for a really killer set that we got to see twice on Shipwrecked. So,
oh man. Yeah. Their set is so good. I can't agree with that enough, the way that that leveled up their live show.
Yeah, they were the talk of the boat too. Everybody that was a fan of them had seen, and you know, they killed it that first night. They pretty much kind of headlined the night at the AFF Lounge.
Yeah.
And it was packed.
Yes, it was. Do we want to just kind of go over some of our favorite tracks on the album?
Sure.
Yeah, I have a few random thoughts. Go ahead. Lead us off.
For whatever reason, Hurt, out of all the singles, and again, they released like six singles before the album even came out, I believe. And Hurt, for whatever reason, just stood out to me as a standout track personally. So it's one of my favorites on the album.
Yeah, it's really funny because I loved that song, and it was released at the same time with Running in Circles. And
yeah,
Running in Circles, you know, I liked it when it was first released, but I can't quite describe why. Maybe because it's one of those songs that you just get stuck in your head. It's very catchy.
Yeah,
but that song has quickly become one of my favorites on the album. Like first, when I first listened to the album, Hard to Be God was probably my favorite. But now, if you ask me, like, my favorite's Running in Circles. It's funny how that works to me.
Yeah. Funny side story for Aaron and I, Hard to Be God, whenever we were on Shipwrecked, we would go back and forth of changing the last word of the song title. So
I think it's funny the way he says God, like with a W.
Yeah.
W. And so for some reason that just got me on a roll of like putting different words in there, or different like people's names.
Yeah.
Like it's hard to be Bob or something like that.
Or Todd.
I know it's hard to be Todd. Yeah. So that just became a bit like for a while. It's also because I was slap happy for the second half of that cruise.
Yeah.
No.
It's true. Oh, man.
To that point, this album has 13 tracks on it. You mentioned like half of them were singles. And something that I thought is interesting about Fission is that as strong as the front is, the first few songs, probably my favorite block is actually towards the end. And that's not a common thing for an album, but from Hard to Be God at track 9, 81 Tons, 10, My Condition, they're you know, kind of one that Jack mentioned being super proud of at 11. Mm-hmm. And there's a track called K-O-E-T.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's Coet. I don't know. Because they do this capitalization, not capitalization thing. And who knows if it's an acronym or a word. That's 12 anyway. Great songs.
Yes.
So, you know, kudos to them for being strong all the way through on that album.
Yeah. Top to bottom, solid, solid, solid stuff. And this was one of our most anticipated from our 2023 episode.
Yeah.
Top of 2023 episode.
And I love when a plan comes together.
Yeah, lived up to the hype, and we just continue to talk about it and listen to it. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, there's no doubt that, I mean, at least as it stands, for, you know, looking over the first quarter, like this is going to be really high, I think, on all of our lists. And if it's one of those things, we've talked about this before, if every one of us has an album on our list at the end of the year, it's probably going to make the final list.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guarantee this is a top 10 pretty much.
Yeah.
I agree.
I also want to note, I want to recommend people to check something out if you want some further sort of context of how wild Dead Poets Society sound is. If you search for a video on Guitar World or on Guitar World's YouTube or whatever, Jack Collins has a video where he's teaching, it's a playthrough. He's like, you know, sort of teaching you how to play one of their songs. It's called Sick Riffs. And the things he is doing with that guitar.
Yeah, the fretless guitar.
His fretless guitar and the way that so many of his sounds are just running his fingers up and down the strings. It's not even necessarily a chord or an effect per se, although I'm sure that, you know, there's a mixture of a bunch of different things. But his technique is so wild and it produces such a unique sound that's so cool to hear. I highly recommend checking that out.
Yeah.
That's not even a song from this album.
Yeah. Who wants to go next?
Song, but
yeah. I'll go ahead. Leading into the next artist is another artist that we spoke with. But when we spoke with them, we actually were talking about their album that had just come out at the time. The artist is Blind Channel. At the time, the album that just came out was called Lifestyles of the Sick and Dangerous. They were riding the high off of Dark Side. And, you know, when we talked to them, they were talking about going into Hollywood and going into the studios in America and writing the new album. And that was released this year, called Exit Emotions. And it's, you know, one of the things I was really scared about is that they were so set on the success of Dark Side that they were going to go in and make like a whole album of Dark Side.
Yeah.
But thank God they did not. They stuck to their same formula that they've been putting, you know, that they've been using for like the last four albums now. And this is another fantastic album. I truly love this album. I don't know if I would say that I love it more than Lifestyles of the Sick and Dangerous, but it's definitely got a different kind of theme to it, and it's a lot more emotional. In fact, it's called Exit Emotions. And so there's just a lot of different types of themes and styles and stuff going on that I absolutely love with this. And it's really funny because they have a couple of guest stars on it as well. One of the first ones is XOXO featuring From Ashes to New. And when we talked with From Ashes to New very early in our podcast career, they had just been featured on another song, and it also stated at the time that it was From Ashes to New. And we were asking Matty Madero about it, and he said that they work as a band on any feature that they're on. And so that's why it's not featuring Matt Brandeberry or not featuring Danny Case. It's featuring From Ashes to New. And this song is like the epitome of that. Because I'll be honest, like I was listening to it and I was like, this is From Ashes to New. This isn't even Blind Channel. And then all of a sudden it like kicks into a Blind Channel song. You're like, whoa. All in like the same song. So it was really cool that it was really well done. And you hear, you know, four vocalists on the same song that just blend very, very well together. And I was thoroughly surprised at how well mixed that song was.
Yeah, I agree with that. And another cool thing that Blind Channel does, and a lot of bands do this nowadays, but I was going through YouTube Music listening to these, and a lot of these tracks already have music videos to them.
Oh yeah.
So it's pretty crazy. And
yeah, they're all about those views, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotta get the views.
They know their algorithms.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they have their legions of fans too.
Yeah.
Yeah, very true on both counts. I think what's funny to me about the Blind Channel From Ashes to New collaboration is that those are like the two bands that we have most stated were very much into early Linkin Park.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're just like, our powers combine.
We are Linkin Park situation. Channel to New.
Yeah, we're channeling Linkin Park. Together for Super Linkin Park. I don't know what they're doing, but
Super Linkin Park.
I just think that's kind of funny. Also, yeah. the one thing I will note that was a very mild bummer to me about Exit Emotions is that it couldn't match the greatness of the album cover of Lifestyle.
I agree.
I remember voting that as one of my favorite album covers of that year. And I'm just going to say, look that up. Look the album up.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this. Yeah. I'm not going to describe it. Just go check it out.
Do side by side comparisons.
Yeah. Exit Emotions is much more simple. It's a cool graphic,
yeah.
But it's not as captivating as the other one.
It's very reminiscent of their first two album covers, for Violent Pop and, Blood Brothers.
Yes.
There's nothing like over the top. It's just a design that goes with the graphic of the title.
Yeah. Now, when we first talked to them, it was part of our conversation was about them being in the U.S. and what that experience was like. And they've been here multiple times, I want to say, since then. Yeah. If not, they're coming back anyway, because they are on their recently announced POD tour with them and Norma Jean and Bad Wolves. And so that'll be some wildness. I think they're a good fit for that lineup for sure.
And they're going to be hitting up a couple of the festivals here in the U.S. over the summer. So,
oh, are they?
Yeah.
They got on the festival circuit? Cool.
At least two of them, I think.
It seems that usually with at least with the Danny Wimmers, if you get on one, you get on most.
At least two, yeah.
At least two, yeah. So there will be chances to see Blind Channel in the U.S., and there's definitely chances to see the Dead Poets Society in the U.S. They seem to kind of alternate between U.S. and European tours at this point, so you can see them all over.
I'm glad you brought up that when we talked with them the last time, they were talking about their adventures through America, and they actually had a song that they wrote that kind of talks about that. Mm-hmm. And their writing in Hollywood, because it's a song called Wolves in California. And this lyrically is probably my favorite song on the album, because it really does say that, you know, like, it starts off like, we're the motherfucking outcast taking over the broadcast. So it's just basically saying, like, you know, the whole song is about how they're in this, you know, unknown area. They're foreigners over here. They don't belong here. And people tried to warn them about being here in the States, but now they're taking over. So, so I just really loved it. It's a fun song.
Yeah.
I will say that it's funny. One of the reasons why, like, I love this album, that's really grown on me that since it's come out. But one of the reasons why we haven't played it for Flavor of the Week is because they curse a lot more on this album than they did the last album.
Yeah, they do. Let's see. All but 3 tracks out of 12, they curse and all of them.
And it's almost always a motherfucker, too.
Yeah.
It's just their favorite English word.
Yeah. It's not even, you can't even sneak it past. It's like blatant. Oh, that was a big one right there.
Yeah.
By the by, if you're not familiar with Blind Channel, they're from Finland.
Yes.
So.
Very Finnish.
Very Finnish. Violent pop indeed, as we said before.
Some of the other standout tracks I like are Dead Zone, which the video to that is hilarious. It's like the rappers versus the metalheads or something like that.
Yeah.
They get into a bar fight.
Oh, I love a good bar fight video. I'm going to check that out.
Yes.
Yeah. And then I think one of Dan's favorites
Yeah, that's what I was going to talk about next. Was the album is really good from, you know, you talked about this with the Dead Poets Society album. It's not top heavy either. You get into like the later half of the album, you get into Happy Doomsday. Well, and the other thing, too, is I like how they kind of mix it up with a little bit of melody as well. Like there's, you know, I wouldn't say Phobia is a soft song, but it's softer than the majority of the songs on this album. And that's like right in the middle of the album. Then you go into like Happy Doomsday. So like you feel like it might tail off, but no. And then they come in with like Not Your Bro at number 10, which is just my favorite song. I wish that I was friends with these guys, because I feel like I would be in the know of like what's going on with all of the hip terms and shit, like all the slang.
Yeah.
Because like this song, it just sounds like something that you would hear on. Well, I mean, again, I'm not familiar with any of this shit because I'm way out of the loop. But it sounds like something you'd hear on TikTok. That's it. Yeah.
On TikTok. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair. Blind Channel definitely feels like a band that would be quite familiar with how to utilize TikTok to its full capacity.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this song, Not Your Bro, it's just like it. For one, it's hilarious because like they're, you know, he's saying the lines, and then like there's this girl back up that like after every line she's like bro bro.
yep
it's awesome.
Fair enough.
Solid stuff from Blind Channel. Yeah
I like we're covering some different vibes here. So Dead Poets Society, I think they're hard to pinpoint, but it's like a it's like a very heavy but a sort of indie rock, and also sort of like bluesy.
Yeah.
And like maybe a smidge even of like some, not country, but like some westerny sounds here and there, at least on the previous album they did.
Mm-hmm.
They're hard to pinpoint, but it's a very unique sound. Blind Channel, you know, they're going for your heavy and aggressive, you know, rap rocky kind of sound.
New metal resurgence.
Yeah, the new metal sound. And then the album I wanted to bring to the table, Kid Capici's There Goes the Neighborhood, has a sound that also is kind of hard to pin down. I mean, it's sort of a Brit punk, like a kind of electronic. It definitely has a punk vibe to what their messaging is. That's 100%. Yeah. And then the sounds, I think, are sort of an evolved version of that.
I think they kind of evolved their own sound from their previous album into this one.
This one, I think it's more so a little context on that. I'm pretty sure we covered their previous album in a roundup at one point, actually.
Yeah.
I know for a fact that their album from 2022, Here's What You Could Have Won, was like my album of the year.
Yes.
For that year. I loved it. I played that thing like weekly all year long. This album, There Goes the Neighborhood, it doesn't feel quite as cohesive as that one to me, where like that one really felt all like a thing.
Yeah.
But what it does have going for it is that it seems like they stretch themselves to some slightly different sounds on this one.
Yeah.
Like there's a song that almost has like a ska vibe to it called Zombie Nation. There's a couple of songs here that are definitely heavier than anything on the previous album, and a couple that are definitely, you know, lighter and like more sensitive. Like,
yeah.
So they're expanding their palette a little bit.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And listening to this album in full definitely made me a little bit extra bummed that they weren't able to attend Shipwrecked.
Yeah. They would have been so fun on Shipwrecked. Yeah.
So we interviewed another band earlier today that's from the UK, and it's just really funny that all the people from UK just have like this overall like dread feeling about their country and the state it's in.
Yes.
And so like that, this album is like, you know, I kind of keep saying this word, but it's like the epitome of that. It's truly how a lot of this generation feels in the UK. And I think they do a great job of expressing that.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think one of the things that drew me to Kid Capici was that they're very strong, but also very like accessible, like social critique.
Yeah.
At the same time, they managed to usually hold like a bit of fun to it as well.
Yeah. Yep.
I agree.
So yeah,
it's
like their previous
all, like,
album
shitting on the country entirely. It's, you
know, yeah, so. Like there's some really good like satire and humor in their like takedowns of how jacked up things are.
It's lighthearted satire with like a hint of. I don't even know the word I'm looking for.
Well, like their previous album had a song that really one of the big cruxes of it was this idea of like a national identity, where he talks about how he's in Britain. He's like, I'm going to go get in my German car and drive down to the restaurant to get some sushi and like all these other things. And kind of like, I don't know, like a lack of a unified, you know, national identity for themselves, because there's so much else going on. And like,
yeah.
And there's similar things in this album. One of my favorite ones, it does a little bit of a thing like that, but it's a different topic entirely. It's a song called Tamagotchi that's basically he rattles off quite a bit of like 90s pop culture things.
Yes.
And so it's like kind of, it's just a fun thing to like try to pick out what you recognize from the references.
I did love that they named a track after Tamagotchi, because I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
But which it made me question their ages, because there's another track where they talk about you know, the dread of turning 30 or whatever, and it's like,
yeah,
why are so many bands doing that?
Like, they're around 30. Yeah, I mean, they would have been pretty little when Tamagotchis were around.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, wait a minute.
But not too little for the reference, though.
Yeah, true.
It's a little. Yeah, true. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I love the way that this album flips around and like each track really zooms in on a particular thing. Like Artillery is the album opener that really just kind of gets into how the deck is stacked. the fix is in is what I mean to say there. The system is rigged for life. And then you have one that I highly recommend the music video for, because it adds so much to the message that they're getting, is a song called Get Down.
Yes.
Which is basically a, about kind of the dreariness of everyday life with the cost of living being such an issue in so much of the world, and particularly their neck of the woods. But I think we can feel that here, and we're in, you know, like the wealthiest nation in the world, and we still understand that that's a problem here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get Down is great because they don't sound like this at all, but it reminds me of like a George Thorogood type of thing where he's just telling a story through half the song.
Yeah, it's totally just a story. He's just giving like a play by play of things going on.
Yeah.
And like what's in his mind. And I love it.
Yeah.
But then, you know, then the switches around from that, and you have probably the most unrepentantly aggressive song on the album, I would say, is called 999, which is an anti-police corruption song.
Yeah.
And they pull no punches in that track. You know, call the swine, call the swine.
It's really surprising to hear, you know, in America, we're obviously, unfortunately, used to hearing about stories like that, but it's really crazy to hear other countries having the same kind of police brutality issues.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, Kit Kapichi is a band that I think really speaks to like England's like working class.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe sort of this feeling of maybe a lack of upward mobility and stuckness is something that they tend to communicate sometimes. So I don't know. These are the kind of guys who probably would have their occasional run-ins with the police. I'll put it that way.
you have that, and then you also have two tracks that talk about dating, more or less. You have Subaru, where it's like her brother drives a Subaru and her dad knows kung fu or whatever. It's like,
right. And then the very silly Angeline.
Yes.
Which is just what is basically, it's about how the woman that he's into is
mean.
She's so much meaner than he thought she was. That's like it. Like, Angeline, you're so mean.
You're like, so mean. It's like Mike Tyson punching me in the spleen.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, that's what he says.
Yeah, so like they're really like running the gamut of different emotions and messages and stuff. And I think it's a lot of fun.
Well, and it's funny too, because, you know, there's so many songs named after women's names, and I don't know if I could ever name, I don't know if I've ever heard of one called Angeline.
Yeah.
It's funny you mentioned that. I saw a Family Guy bit like two days ago. Is that what you're thinking of? Yeah.
Yep.
It's like songs of women's, he's like, named five, like, name 10, name three more. And he can just keep on going. Yeah. That exact bit just came up on, I don't know, something the algorithm decided I wanted, even though I'm not exactly giving him reason to think that I would want to watch Family Guy clips. But anyway. And speaking of names, you know, again, speaking to the album's diversity in terms of tone, like it ends with a track called Jimmy.
Yes.
Which is, it's basically a loving tribute to a friend that has passed.
And it's kind of a ballad, which is a different, mm-hmm. A different Kid Kapichi style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They go from, you know, a few tracks earlier, some pretty aggressive takedowns of social ills and whatnot, to, you know, a very sentimental and introspective, you know, ballad about loss. So, you know, kudos to them for, like I said, for stretching. Again, my only critique is that it almost stretches so much that it feels a little less connected than the previous album, but it's still going to end up pretty high on my top 20. I'm pretty convinced of that already. We'll put it that way. Maybe not my album of the year, but it'll still be up there pretty high.
Pretty sure it'll make my list. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows if it makes all of our lists?
Who knows?
Yeah. Who knows?
It's also bright yellow, which, like, you don't see albums that are bright freaking yellow like that. Like, what? That's got to stand out if you see that vinyl in the store or something.
One thing that we didn't really talk about yet, but the listeners will see this in the episode art, is we kind of laughed as we chose these, because, you know, Vision is blue, Blind Channel's red, and Kid Kapichi's yellow. So we have the primary color.
these are the primary albums that we recommend for quarter one.
Yeah.
And if Blind Channel had been released 1 week or even 1 day earlier, we would have had a January, a February, and a March, which would have been super cool. But it was released on March 1st, and so we have two March albums, technically.
Oh, well.
Actually, if it was released a day earlier, it would have been released on a leap year. So that's
a leap year. There you go. That would have been fun.
How a band's not releasing stuff on leap years? Do it just because you can, honestly.
Because yeah. it wasn't a Tuesday.
Yeah. Then yeah, you can never do Friday. A 20-year anniversary of it or whatever, you know?
Yeah. I want to know who determines what days stuff is released on, because it used to be Tuesdays back in the day, and now everything got switched to Friday, and I'm just so confused.
And then occasionally people release stuff on Thursdays. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, true. Shout out to Paralandra. very recent guest who released their album on Thursday instead of waiting. They were like, we're getting ahead of the curve.
Got to get those extra sales in there to count for that weekend.
I mean, yeah, why not? Yeah. I mean, Blacktop Mojo, Vampire Weekend, there's some big stuff on the Friday of that week. So,
yeah.
Which right. by the time you hear this, those albums will be out, and we're going to recommend hearing those. Also, just because I'm on a little kick right now, check out the Dead Pony album, Ignore This, that will be out by the time you hear this, because I've heard like half of it in the singles they released, and it's awesome.
All right.
And if you're Dead Pony listening to this, hit me up. Let's get you on.
Yeah. So we love these albums, and we're excited for what's to come, and who knows, we'll get pitched some stuff in the email where stuff comes out of nowhere that we will dig and chat with that artist. So
yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much for listening to the Itch Podcast. My name is Dan.
I'm Casey.
And I'm Aaron.
And until next time, what albums are you listening to?
Let us know. We need to know.
If you enjoyed what you heard in this episode, please subscribe and tell a friend about The Itch.
Check out the show notes for links about the episode, as well as our new music playlist and where you can hear us every Sunday night.
And you can interact with us at itchrocks.com or on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Gmail, all at itchrocks, I-T-C-H-R-O-C-K-S.